proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. I'm your host, Aaron Broughton, and I want to thank you for joining me today. If you've ever had the privilege of taking a trip to Israel, I'm sure you can attest to the saying that the Bible turns from black and white to technicolor. Scholars in the 19th century referred to the land of Israel as being the fifth gospel because of this. Now, with this in mind, let's now go to Israel, to the old city of Jerusalem. We are now standing outside of Damascus Gate on the north side of the old city. Come with me now as we'll cross this busy street on our way to this very special place. Watch your step. We'll turn right and come to the Garden Tomb. We will talk about the Garden Tomb in greater detail on our next program, but for now, let's make our way to Gordon's Calvary, also known as Skull Hill. From this spot, we see the old city walls that date back to Suleiman the Magnificent in the 16th century. Below us is a very busy and noisy Arab bus station. But don't let this distract you from the uniqueness of this place. Look now to the left and you will notice a Muslim cemetery on top of the hill. Now let us look down and you can make out what appears to be a skull in the rock face. In the first century, this place would have been outside the outer city wall. This area we are in was also used as a quarry and most likely was used in the building project of the Second Temple. In 1883, British General Charles Gordon was visiting the home of his friend Horatio Gates Spafford in Jerusalem. One day, Gordon went to the flat rooftop of the house and spent a few hours sitting in his chair while reading the Bible. As he looked north, he saw the shape of a skull in the rock formation. He began sketching out the rock face and presented it to Spafford. He concluded that this was the site of Jesus' crucifixion. Even though others proposed this idea before him, Gordon popularized it. Thus, this place has become known as Gordon's Calvary. Whether or not this is the actual place of Jesus' crucifixion, we do know from ancient sources that this site was a place of execution. Stoning was the customary way of capital punishment for the Jewish people. The convicted would be thrown from the cliff, then large stones would be cast on to kill him. According to Deuteronomy chapter 21, the body would be hung on a tree, bearing the curse of his sin. The Romans also used places like this for execution, usually crucifixion. As we look here at Skull Hill, we are reminded of the death of Jesus. John 19, 17 and 18 says, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst." Crucifixion was not unique only to Jesus. Thousands of other Jews faced a similar fate, especially during the Jewish revolt around 70 AD. The Romans designed crucifixion in four ways. First, it was to be cruel. A severe flogging occurred before the victim was given his cross and began a grueling trek to the place of execution. This punishment was given to non-Roman citizens. Second, it was to be public. Often crucifixions happened near city gates on public roads. The Gospels record that Jesus was taken to a place that was nigh to the city. This was to serve as a deterrent to any would-be rebel against Rome. Third, the crucifixion was to be lingering. According to the Jewish historian Josephus Flavius, some Jewish rebels remained alive for 2 or 3 days. However, it was common for criminals' legs to be broken to hasten death. We see this in the Gospels with the two thieves. Fourth, the crucifixion was to be certifiable. It was the responsibility of the Roman execution team to ensure that the one crucified was indeed dead. And this is why Jesus was pierced with a spear. Now, before we leave Gordon's Calvary, let us remember why Jesus died. It was for you and me. It was for our sins that he suffered and died. He was buried and rose again the third day to give us forgiveness and everlasting life. So now I ask you, my friend, have you trusted in Jesus the Messiah? Have you trusted in him to save you from your sin? John 20, verse 31 says, "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Now I want to thank you for joining me. If you'd like to hear this program or any of our other archive programs regarding Israel and the Jewish people, simply visit us at ibjm.org. And as we close this program, let us remember the words of Psalm 122:6, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Let us pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.